Well, good morning, church. I know you may think, well, they didn't take down the Christmas decorations yet. No, this was left up here intentionally because we're in this series, second week of this series called Unopened Gifts. And really, you know, we kicked it off last week with the idea of what if you got a Christmas gift, and what if you got a Christmas gift and just left it wrapped under the tree? That an unwrapped gift would typically be unused. It would not be useful. In fact, this week we're continuing that line of thinking with the idea that unused gifts are useless gifts. And so we're going to continue this series. And I found out, you know, it's going to be a little bit different type of teaching time this morning because we're going to go through some spiritual giftings. And what I'd like for you to do, even if you're not a note taker today, just indulge me. And, you know, get something. You can get a bulletin in the back or on the side over here. There's some pens out there. Because I'm gonna challenge you to write down some things today that I think will help in this series. And so, or you know, if you have a device you want to take them on, that's fine. As long as you're not, you know, shopping on Amazon, you know, at the important times, at least. But these were left up here intentionally because we're in this series, Unopened Gift. And this week is the unused gift is a useless gift. Now I said this is a little bit different teaching time because we're gonna be looking at just you know some of the giftings. And I found out in the first service that we're not gonna make it through the whole list of giftings. So I'm gonna do about half this week and half next week. Although I had some time allotted for that because I didn't know if we were gonna make it through there. But I want to start off by just giving you some information about this study because I think it's very important. That we're on kind of on the same page here in the fact that when you talk about spiritual gifts and as the spiritual gifts that we see, you know, laid out in God's Word, there are a couple different schools of thought as it relates to spiritual gifts. And so what I want to do is I want to kind of give you the groundwork for that, and I'll tell you where I land on that. And this is one of those things that you may agree with or you may disagree with, and that's fine. You can find people to back you up. Very smart, wonderful, godly men and women who are far more learned than I am. But I'm just going to tell you where I land and where, you know, I look at some of these teachings and I've read back over a lot of the teachings this week from different teachers, from different theologians, you know, from us, from some great minds and writers, that when we look at spiritual gifts, there's a number of the spiritual gifts that are laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in Romans chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. There's a number of those gifts that as they're laid out in Scripture, that some people believe that those gifts were given at the apostolic age when the apostles and the original disciples were in place, that were in place for a period of time. And once that period of time was done, those gifts have ceased to be a part of the church body. Now, people who line up with that school of thought, and there's a number of them out there, very wonderful men and women, that those people who adhere to that school of thought are called cessationists, okay? That they believe that those ceased to be in existence after the apostolic age or the first part of church history. Then there's another group of people who say, okay, well, we can look at some different scriptures and see, and typically, this is what's interesting, typically people on both sides of, you know, or on two sides of this coin will use the same scriptures to defend their position. So that can make it a little bit challenging as we navigate through these waters. But there are people who look at those same scriptures in those same places and say, no, I believe that the particular giftings that were, and we'll talk about each one of them over the next 2 weeks. It was going to be today, but we're just not going to make it. Unless, I mean, we can hang out till, you know, 3-4 o'clock, right? Okay, some people said yes, most people said no, but that's fine. I still love you. So here's the deal. So there are people that believe that no, those giftings are still in place today. And again, using many of the same scriptures, and they're called continuists, that those gifts continued through the apostolic age, through all of church history, up until today, and will be here until Jesus returns. Now, I am a continuist. And I'll tell you some of the reasons behind that. And I think it's like, you know, Dave Ramsey said in his video, you can agree with or disagree with that, but if you disagree with that, it's fine. You're wrong. It's okay. No, I'm just joking. Again, there are people on both sides of that, and I'll give you my reasoning for what I believe is the scriptural basis and some of the things that I believe are just misconceptions about some of the gifts that we see laid out in the scripture. Okay, and let me just say this. If it is one of those things that we disagree on, that's fine. It's not a reason to break fellowship. Okay, I'm just telling you that. And you can send me emails and agree or disagree, and that's fine, and we'll talk about it. Okay, so let's just start out here with the fact that God knows that the church needs spiritual gifts. So with the knowledge that this is the Word of God, that this is without error, that this is all true, and in it, in several places, there's teaching about giftings that are given to the people of God for God's purpose and for God's glory and for the common good, as we talked about last week. And for the common good of the church, for the common good of the world, that the people of God on the mission of God have been given gifts and giftings, and that God knew that we needed those things, and so he gave them to us. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says this: all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, this is going to be very important in moving forward, that this is according to God's will and according to God's plan for God's purpose, for the common good, for the edification of the body, and, you know, for the church to do what God has called us to do. Okay, so now we're just going to get into some old school blackboard teaching. If I had a blackboard and I could write legibly, then I'd use it. But instead, I'm going to use the screen. So up on the screen, you're going to see a list of giftings pulled from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and Ephesians 4. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to begin to walk through each one of these giftings, because it's important that we recognize not only that these are giftings that have been given by God, okay, but that we need to know what they are. And one of the things I want to challenge you to do is, as we go through each one, you write down administration, right? You can jot down some notes about that for some of you people who like to do that. For some of you people who don't, just write down administration. And then next to it, what I want you to do is I want you to write down the name of a person that you know that has that gift. All right? We're on the same page there? All right? So we'll write down that. We're going to talk about them a little bit. And you're going to hear me say this over and over and over and over and over and over again with every one of these gifts. It's a point that we talked about last week, and I'll just read the verbiage that I used last week. This is one of the points from last week. We are not exempt from obeying God's word simply because we don't have a particular gift. So as we go through each one of these, okay, we're going to talk about the fact that you may or may not have the particular gift that we're talking about, but there's other places in Scripture that give us instruction on what to do in that area, and so we can't just say, well, you know, I'm not going to do that, okay? So let's just start out with administration. Administration, in my notes, I just put details, details, details. Now, I'm just going to leave the list up on the screen, and we're just going to talk about these, you know, as we go, but this is particularly as it relates to ministry and the will of God and the purpose of God on the mission of God. There are some really great administrators, the people who are in administration, but not necessarily kingdom work administration. This is specifically as it relates to kingdom work. And you know, I wrote down some people, because I did the same thing I'm challenging you to do. I wrote down some people, but I'm not going to tell you the people that I wrote down, because then you'll just use those same people and it's not fair. So you got to get your own people. But here's the thing. In administration, people who have the gift of administration, typically when they hear the big picture, when they hear the vision of what God is doing, particularly in the local church, They're the kind of people that can handle all the details that go along with accomplishing the big picture, the mission that God has called us to. And these are incredible people. In fact, people typically who have the gift of administration would not like to come up here and share the need to fulfill those details. They're typically behind the scenes kind of people, those who have the gift of administration. And, you know, this is a gifting that God has given them, where for some other people, maybe you're like that, you know, maybe for some other people, the details, oh man, they'll bog you down. Here's the project, here's where we got to go. You know, and if you got to write out all the details, you're like, oh, forget this. We're not even going to do it. But those other people who have the gift of administration, man, they love that stuff. They love the details. They're checking. They're doing all these, you know, things to make sure that the big picture happens. And it's a beautiful gift. You know, in any one of these that we look at, when they're used the right way and when they're being used to serve the Lord according to His will and His purpose and His plan, then it is incredibly beautiful. Now, like I said, with every one of these, every follower has to do some administrative work in their life. Everyone, we all have to do some administration. We can't just say, well, I don't have that gift, so therefore I'm not going to, you know, do anything in reference to a particular ministry. And we'll see that with all of these things, but the people who have this gift love it. The people who have this gift, they love the details. They get excited about the details. They want to show you the details, and people who don't have this gift, you're like, that's great, that's wonderful, thank you. But it is incredibly important, and it is needed, and it's a blessing to the body. All right, we're going to jump right in with this second one, because this is one of those ones that's controversial. The gift of apostleship. Now, I want to make sure that we understand that there's some confusion when we talk about the gift of apostleship, and not confuse it with the office of apostle. So just so, you know, kind of, I know there's a lot of people that are in different places, and maybe some people are just kind of figuring out this whole walk with Jesus thing, and so I just want to give us some, you know, some very basic, you know, knowledge of this. There are some folks who were apostles, who walked, you know, with Jesus, who were with the first part of the church. There were people who were given the office of apostle. That is not what we're talking about when we talk about the gift of apostleship. And that's where I think there's some confusion. Because when we talk about the gift of apostleship, today, that's those folks that are looking at places where there is not a gospel presence. And these are people that will start churches and start new ministries and recognize places that are incredibly spiritually dry and say, we need to go there and establish a church and establish leadership there and get in there and get that going. And they may or may not stay there. But the people who have the gift of apostleship, man, they are excited about that. For some of you, if we start talking about that, you'd get very uncomfortable. I don't know about that. You talk about going to a place that there's no gospel presence and starting a church, and that's kind of dangerous. Those are typically not people who have the gift of apostleship. The people who have the gift of apostleship are like, yeah, that's fantastic. Let's go. Come on. You know, and so again, what I want you to do is I want you to write down, you know, some folks that has that gift. The people who have the gift of apostleship are typically entrepreneurial. They typically take risks, but not like bad risks, like good risks for the gospel. Like people who say, man, we've never gone to this place and done this and tried this to share the gospel with people, and they get excited about it. And again, people who don't have that gift of apostleship go, I don't know, you probably shouldn't do that. That's kind of dangerous. Maybe we shouldn't. Let's just go have coffee. You know, and so, you know, but here's the thing. Just like any of these other gifts, we are not exempt from being a part of helping to start new churches and plant new ministries and think of new ways to share the gospel with people who have not heard the gospel. that, and we'll talk about this as the body in a little bit later, but as the body that we're called to do this together, but some people have that gifting. Okay, so don't confuse the office of apostle with the gift of apostleship. And in a little while, we'll look at Ephesians chapter 4, and in that, it talks about that some are called to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and pastors. And I don't think, this is just my opinion, and we can talk about this and we can agree with this or disagree with this, whatever. But I don't think when that list is given that God would say, okay, well, some of these will continue and some of them won't. I think that because of the way that's written, that they'll all continue or they all won't. And as I stated earlier, as a continuist, I believe that they all continue, and it's just how are we understanding correctly what God's word is giving us. So, the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment. The Holy Spirit gives the gift of discernment to some folks who can discern between those things that are from God and those things that are not from God, and they can do it rather quickly, according to God's word. Not just, you know, because, or not just, well, I kind of feel like, but those who have the gift of discernment have a confidence that there's something from God or something that's not from God. Excuse me. And so this is almost like, I guess, to put it in some modern terms, this is almost like Spidey sense, you know, from Spider-Man. That the person who has the gift of discernment, something comes along and they go, don't know about that, or yeah, that's a direction you should go, or I should go, or we should go, and there's clear direction from the Holy Spirit. Now, this does not mean that people who don't have the gift of discernment don't have direction from the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible says that He will guide us, He will direct us, He will give us His Spirit, and we will be able to test those things that are from God and not from God. But there are people who have a deeper level of understanding, and we'll even talk about that when we get to wisdom, that the deeper level of understanding, maybe some people could speak better than I can too, sorry about that, I got excited, you know, but they have a deeper level of understanding, and that gift of discernment allows them to go, I understand that or don't understand that. But every follower is to use discernment, godly, biblical discernment in making decisions and following God and finding out what God has called us to do. Okay, so what we're going to do is for 4 and 6. 4 and 6 we're putting together, encouragement and exhortation. These two, because they're interchangeable, all right? And this kind of seems like an easy one, that you automatically think of some people that have the gift of encouragement. You know, I look out, I see some people who have the gift of encouragement. I was kind of going through the classes this morning and just visiting with some people. And one of the things that I chose to do, and you could do this or not do this, is people that I know that I've identified that have some of these gifts. You know, I thank them for using their gift. And so the gift of encouragement are those people who have the ability to always bring out those things that are good. Even if you've totally blown something up. You've just totally, you know, it just didn't work out. And they're able to look at the piece that was good and say, man, I really liked what you did here. Whereas the other 99% of us go, man, you really messed that up. Like, it was terrible. Like, you should never do that again. So the person who has the gift of encouragement is able to bring out that good piece. But the exhortation to exhort someone, that's to bring about something that maybe isn't so good in an encouraging way. So I'll give you a perfect example of this. Pastor Cliff has the gift of encouragement. He's an encourager. And those of you who know Pastor Cliff, you know that. Even, you know, with bad jokes. I mean, I don't necessarily have that gift. I apologize, brother. I'm sorry. But Brother Cliff has the gift of encouragement. Now, with someone who's always encouraging you, right, when you are doing something that you shouldn't be doing, and the person who has the gift of encouragement comes to you and says something to the effect of, hey, brother, you know what? I just want to encourage you. I noticed in that conversation with your friend there, you were a little harsh, and I don't know that was very uplifting to them because when they walked away, they were very sad. when the person with the gift of encouragement comes and brings a scriptural, you know, exhortation to you, it's not harmful. It doesn't hurt. In fact, it's a blessing. Because sometimes we go, oh man, I didn't realize that, you know, I said that or you did that or reacted in that way. And, you know, man, thank you for bringing that to my attention. And so the person who has those, like I said, those words are interchangeable, but it doesn't seem like when someone's bringing about something that's bad or sinful or against the scripture, it doesn't seem like that would be encouraging, but it is, because we all need that. We all need people in our life who are going to encourage us, yes, when we do something good, but even when we're moving in a way apart from God, that they go, hey, you know what, I noticed that this is an area, man, where you could really use some help, and, you know, and it's like, oh, man, thank you, brother, thank you, sister. And so it's really important that we just, you know, we understand that these things, you know, it's not just like, oh, man, they always say nice things to me. No, the person who has the gift of encouragement, man, they're bringing out the best in you, even in the worst of you. And that's important to recognize, church. Now, here's the thing. There's a lot of people who don't have the gift of encouragement. Does that mean you should just be discouraging? No, because the Bible says we should encourage. In fact, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, do not give up meeting together as some in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. What? The return of Christ. The day when we're going to be together for those who have put, you know, their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, for those who have done that together for eternity. As we see that coming, as we see that happening, let's encourage one another. So we're not exempt from that. You can't just say, oh, well, good, I can just discourage everyone. No, no. All right. Now, the one that was in the middle there, that's evangelism. Now I want to make sure that, you know, as we look at that, that's, again, it seems like that's kind of one that, okay, I understand that. I know some people who have, you know, that kind of gift of evangelism. But the gift of evangelism there's a burning desire in the person who has the gift of evangelism to share the gospel with those who are lost. Now, again, those who are connected to the church, whether it's this church or another church, those who have made a commitment to follow Jesus Christ, we are given just instructions throughout the scripture to go and share that, to go and make his name known, to go and make disciples. I mean, we can look at a lot of different scriptures, you know, to back that up. And we should all be a part of that, absolutely. But for the people who have the gift of evangelism, it's a constant thought. It is a constant process that goes on to say, man, there are people in our community, there are people in our country, there are people in our world that are lost, and because they don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when they die, they're going to be separated from God for eternity in a place called hell, and I can't stand that. For the person who has that gift of evangelism says, I just can't, I've got to do something about that. Again, we all should be a part of it, and we should all be, you know, helping and sharing and doing what God has called us to do. But for the person who has the gift of evangelism, there's this overwhelming, burning desire, and there's an effectiveness because of that. Because of ongoing conversations and times when they've got it right and messed it up, a continual honing of that, and we'll talk about that in a couple weeks, the idea of, you know, continuing to serve in our gifts. And once we recognize what those are and say, okay, here's where God has gifted me and here's where I need to serve, how do I improve upon that? That, man, there's just an awareness and effectiveness in this area that not everyone has. Everyone is called to share the gospel who's in relationship with Jesus Christ. But not everyone is as effective or aware of the lostness that's, you know, in our community. I remember years ago in one of those bad church meetings. I don't know if you've ever been in a bad church meeting. If you haven't, I pray that you never will. You know, but it was one of those bad church meetings, and the reason I say it was bad is because of what I'm about to tell you. is that there were some folks with, you know, these kind of gifts and evangelism and apostleship and, you know, trying to really start a new work and, you know, and reach people in our community. And there was someone who was bold enough when we said in that meeting, well, look, we just want to reach lost people. And this person raised their hand and said, I don't care about lost people. I was a young youth pastor at the time, and at that comment, I got very angry because this was a person who had been in the church for many years. And I said some things that I probably shouldn't have. And our senior pastor at the time, Dr. Steve Gandy, he put his hand on my shoulder, which was his way of saying, it's time to shut up. And he said, what my young friend is trying to convey is that we should all be concerned about lost people. And so here's when we look at these things, again, there should be a desire for all of us to still walk in biblical principles and do those things that God has called us to do. But we do recognize that some people are gifted in these areas. Now let's move to faith. And I want to kind of just kind of lay this out there in the fact that when we talk about faith, that there's a difference between the gift of faith and saving faith, okay? Saving faith is a gift, and saving faith is how we have all come into, those who are in a relationship with Jesus Christ have come into that relationship, and if you haven't come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, it is only by God's grace, by way of faith, that you can do that. And so the saving faith is a gift from God, but then some people receive the gift of faith. It is rooted in saving faith, but it differs from saving faith in the fact that the gift of faith is that person who is incredibly, overwhelmingly, maybe even disturbingly to some people, confident in God doing what God is going to do. So, there's been a time in your life and my life where something has come about and we've kind of, you know, got there and just kind of sat down and like, oh, Lord, I don't know about this. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how this is going to work out. And had this little kind of time of worry of just, you know, I'm really confused and I'm not really sure. The person who has the gift of faith does not wrestle with that like the person who does not have the gift of faith. So let me explain that. It's like the person who has the gift of faith knows there's an overwhelming confidence. Now, like, hopefully we can agree on the fact that God's word is true. And there is nothing in God's word that has been conveyed to us incorrectly, is without error. But there are times where that doesn't connect in my brain when something happens and I'm like, God, I read your word and I don't understand how this happened or how this is going to work out or how this is going to play out. Those who have that gift of faith go, however this works out, to God be the glory. Whether it works out the way I think it should or the way somebody else thinks it should or the way they think it should or we think it should, or to God be the glory. God is sovereign. He is in control of all things. And thus, he can receive glory through all things. And so saving faith is one thing. How we come to Christ is by his grace. It is the gift that he gives, that he offers to us. You know, that he says, here's the gift. You can unwrap it or you can leave it. But, you know, if you come into relationship with me, it's by faith because of my grace. That's different than the gift of faith that says, I am confident. I am overwhelmingly confident that God is going to prevail in any of these situations. Now, again, if we don't have that gift of faith, that does that mean that we go, well, I don't really know. It's just, you know, yeah, things may happen. No. We still need to go to God's word and trust that God is going to do what God knows is best. And that the Romans 8:28, that all things work for the good of those who love and trust him according to his will, according to his purpose, that God's going to work all things good for his people. You know, we still cling on to that. But those who have that gift of faith, They have it. And it is beautiful, church. It's inspiring. It's like, whoa, man. You know, you even like, oh, like, you've talked about people like that, like they're like a super Christian or whatever term you've used, you know, like, man, they're really in touch, you know, with God, you know. So there's different identifying marks, too, for some of these things. But every follower of Christ who's in a relationship with Christ has saving faith and is called to walk in faith, not by sight, according to God's will and purpose. Next one is giving. You'll notice that these are in no particular order except for alphabetical. So, or at least as close as I can get to alphabetical. So, giving. This is one of those things that there are people in our church community, there are people in the church who have been given the gift of giving, and they truly understand that everything that they have is God's. Every single thing that they have is God's, and so as a result, they're willing to give generously in ways that some other people look at and go, man, well, that's crazy. But for them, it's just like, no, this is just what God has called us to do. In fact, just at the end of 2019, there were people not who gave like a little bit extra money, thousands of extra dollars, like literally like tens of thousands of dollars at the last, you know, offering of the year. It's folks like that that you can recognize they have the gift of giving. They're like, this is not mine, and so here you go. And you know, for other people, it'd be like, oh, I don't know if I can write this check, you know? Now, does that mean that we're not called to give? No, absolutely we are called to give. In fact, we took an offering. We're doing a class on, you know, financial peace to help us understand the biblical principles about money, not just so we could, you know, raise the, you know, the tithes and offerings, but so that there's an understanding of what it means to give, because people who have that gift understand that. And it's not something that necessarily has to be, you know, taught. It's something that's just practiced, that's just lived out. But for a lot of people who don't have that gift, we need that teaching. We need that encouragement. We need that admonishment. And this is another one it's a beautiful gift. And especially, you know, let me just say this. There's a lot of great charities out there. And you may give, you know, to those charities, and I'm not saying that you should or you shouldn't. That's not the point of this. What I'm saying is this is specifically, according to the scriptures, in reference to advancement of the gospel. That this kind of giving is for the advancement of kingdom work. So all the, you know, other charities that are doing great things, they're wonderful. But if they're not coupled with the gospel, they will not last. You say, well, such and such has been around for a long time. Yes, but when even the lives that it supposedly changed were short term. Gospel ministry, when we give to gospel ministry, has eternal implications. And so we need to understand that about giving. Okay, here's another one that's very controversial, and we probably won't make it too much further than this right here. The gift of healing. I believe this is still in effect today. Now, let me explain this, because here's what I don't believe. I don't believe that someone can say, I have the gift of healing, and at 7 o'clock on Thursday night, you come here and I'm going to heal you. I don't believe that is an accurate biblical picture of healing and the gift of healing. Okay? Because God does what God wants to do, that people who are a part of healing, and let me just say this, one of the reasons I believe that this is still in place today is because of times when I have been a part of praying for people, and particularly people who were absolutely near death. And after calling out to God and praying for that person and being obedient to Scripture, that person was healed, and moments later were celebrating and praising God. Now, am I saying that I have the gift of healing? No. I'm saying that I believe that God still heals people, and He uses His people to be a part of that. So the person who has that gift, which is coupled with prayer, by the way, okay? So the person who has that gift, it's like the gift of faith in the fact that there's an overwhelming confidence that God is going to heal someone, whether it's the way we think it is or not. And many times this is coupled with just physical healing, but I don't believe that's all of it either. That it's also has to do with spiritual healing. That there are people who will not be physically healed, but need to be spiritually healed, i.e. come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, so that when their time is done here, that they will spend eternity in heaven with him. And so the person who has that gift recognizes that there's two things at work here. There's the spiritual realm, there's the physical realm. There are people who are healed physically and people who aren't. There are people who are given the opportunity to know Jesus and there are people who aren't. There are people who accept the gift that God gives us and there are people who don't. And so those who are involved in that recognize that God is sovereign and God is going to do what God wills and plans to do. But he wants us to be a part of that. And so, you know, I struggle with this and the fact that, again, this is some of those places where some of those same teachings are used to say, well, no, this is why I think this is still in place, and this is why I think this isn't in place. And because there are some people who have abused this and misused this and said, you know, at such and such a time, on such and such a date, I'm going to be here and heal people. And it has become, you know, kind of a production, for lack of a better term, that then, well, you know, that can't still be in place today. And so we're not going to get to tongues and interpretation today, but I challenge you to make sure you're here next week, because that's another one that we're going to talk about in depth that is challenging. And so I believe that all these gifts are still in place, and so do we truly understand that? So do we truly understand what that gift of healing is? See, for the person who has the gift of healing, the ultimate concern of that person for someone else is their spiritual healing. That's the ultimate concern. And so that's different than, you know, being healed of a physical, you know, affliction or sickness. And because you and I have both prayed for some people, you know, particularly that have had a physical thing or, you know, have had cancer, we prayed for that person. My wife and I, we prayed for our first child, our daughter. And, you know, as, you know, from the time she was born premature and, you know, for all that time, you know, for the first 2 years of her life, and the doctor said, she's not going to make it. She turns two, and the doctor says she's going to make it. And then 2 months later, she dies. Well, wait a second. What is that? What is that all about, Lord? Well, God healed our daughter, Hope. Just not the way that we thought he was going to heal her. We prayed that she would be able to do all those things that a two-year-old could do, and she can. Just not where we thought she was going to be able to do that. And so these are, you know, there's some of these things that come up that as we talk, you know, about these things, as we look at these things, that we go, now, not everyone has the gift of healing. But every person is to pray for those who are struggling, physically and spiritually. We are called to do that as the body of Christ. So we'll do helps, and then we'll pick up on hospitality next week. So helps, the word in helps, the word literally translated means to relieve or participate in and or support. And so those who have the gift of helps and help, and you know some of them, and you can recognize, and I want you to write that out next to there, because I want you to say, man, thank you for using your gift of help. The person who has the gift of helps is again, it's kind of like one of those people that just, they serve, but they recognize opportunities to serve. So those who have the gift of helps, some of us, if we're asked to help, sure, we'll help. But the person who has that gift is looking and going, oh, man, that person needs some help, or they need some help over there, or here's a ministry that needs some help, and I'm going to jump in and fill that void until the time when someone gets in there to run that, to do that, to be there. The person who has the gift of helps is looking, you know, as somebody is struggling in, you know, from the car and they got a bunch of stuff and they come out and they, you know, they help him, where sometimes, you know, you or I may be in a conversation and all of a sudden they come in and dropping stuff all over the place. And we're like, oh, I should have helped you, you know? And so, like, and typically the person who has the gift of helps is not someone who, again, would be comfortable coming up here and saying, okay, we need help in this particular area. They're like, I'm just going to go do it. And so, it was very interesting to me that even, like, because we live right down the street, we drive by here all the time. You know, as I was driving by here on New Year's Day, there was a number of people up here just serving, kind of behind the scenes. You would never know, you know, that they were up here doing stuff, you know, here and there. And it was cool just, like, you know, stopping by and seeing, you know, some different people on New Year's Day having a day off, you know, and just coming up to the church and serving. And not looking for recognition for that, not, you know, saying, oh, man, you know, check this out. But it's incredible. It's beautiful. It's part of the body. So here's what we need to do. Again, we'll pick up on hospitality next week. So just go to the next slide. We're just going to skip the rest. We'll come back to those, I promise, because otherwise there's some that we need to spend some time on. So here's what we need to do. Everyone's called to help. You're not exempt from that. All right. Every church has the gifts it needs to do what God has called it to do. So when we look at that list of giftings and some other ones, all right, every church, so this church, Arlington Baptist Church, God has given us the gifts to do what he has called us to do. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 14 and 18. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. So, with that knowledge, there's also, it's interesting that as, you know, just, you know, kind of the church, you know, you look at church culture now, there's some people that say, well, church membership is obsolete. You don't need to have church membership anymore. And there's people that say, no, church membership is very important. I am of the mindset that church membership is very important because the Bible specifically says, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. It talks about being a member of a body, and particularly this, we're talking about a local body. And he has arranged the members in that body, each of them as he chose. So just a quick plug for Starting Point next week. Starting Point is our class that we have to say, hey, this is what we're about as a church. This is what we believe. These are our, you know, the doctrinal, you know, principles. And here's, you know, bylaws and stuff like that. And here's how we operate as a church. And we'd love for you to be a part of it, but we want you to make an educated decision on being a part of that. Here's what I know, though. When we commit to be a part of the local body, God has brought us together for a reason. It wasn't haphazard. It wasn't accidental. It's not a coincidence. God has brought us all together and has gifted us in certain ways because he has something he wants us to do. And it is for his glory and to be on the mission of God together, he has given us the gifts that we need, that this body needs to do what God has called us to do. Each church member should not only recognize these gifts, but use them. Each church member should not only recognize these gifts, but use them. So it's one thing to look through, you know, that list of giftings. And it's another thing to say, okay, which of these gifts apply? Which ones have God given to me? And which ones have God given to those around me? Here it says in Romans 12, 3 through 6, for by the grace given to me, I say every one of you among you must not think more highly of himself than he ought to, but think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So as a part of the body here and the gifts that God has given you, you should use them. Last but not least, a follower of Jesus is most fulfilled when they are serving within their area of giftedness. A follower of Jesus is most fulfilled when they are serving within their area of giftedness. So there may be a time that you have to jump in and help with something else, and that's not necessarily your area of giftedness. You know that it's temporary and it's short term, but it's not necessarily comfortable. When you're serving in the area that you're gifted in, it's incredible, church. It's fulfilling. It's exciting. It's one of those things that you go, oh, man. And again, it's just like I talked about, even like, apostleship or evangelism. It's like that we're called to be a part of doing those things, but there are times that if you were kind of thrown into that, it would be a little uncomfortable. But for the people who say, man, I recognize that there's a place on the other side of the world that there's no churches in, and God has called me to go there and start a church. For other people, it's kind of like, oh, no, I take it all the ways not to do it. The person who is serving in their area of giftedness is thinking of every way that God has called them and equips them to do that. And it's exciting. And here's what happens. Here's what is so exciting about this whole series. When everybody in the church recognizes the gifts that God has given them and everyone is serving within their gifts, it becomes a place that is so exciting that when God's people are together and sharing testimonies about what God is doing through them while using their gifts, man, there's a celebration that happens. And the angels are celebrating alongside of us. And God is looking down and going, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's it. That we're not all to do all of these things. And the mistake is that sometimes, even as we look at staff members, we're like, well, he doesn't have this gift or he doesn't have that gift. And there's an expectation that some people will have all the gifts they don't. And our staff members, we don't. We are gifted in different areas, and we want to serve in those areas, and we want to encourage you to serve in those areas. We'll come back to, I know the last scripture on there is Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. We're going to come back to that next week because it says that some are given to these particular gifts to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And we are the saints, church. We are the ones that God has called out, that is sanctified by the blood of his son, Jesus, to do the work that he has called us to do, to glorify him, to honor him, and to be a blessing, to build up the body, and to share the gospel. And so this is exciting stuff. And I pray that through this series that it's like, man, I've never really unwrapped that gift. I've never been serving. As I look at that list, and we'll finish up next week, as I look at that list, man, I've never been serving in that gift. And, man, I'm starting to get excited about that. I'm starting to really get kind of ramped up about that. Like God wants to do something incredible, and he wants to use me. Maybe before you even think along those terms, though, that when we talked about the difference between the gift of faith and saving faith, maybe you've never received the gift of salvation, which is saving faith. And maybe today is the day for you. That before you get excited or even think about any of these other gifts or recognize those gifts in other people, which I think you should do, and you should encourage those and talk with folks and say, man, thank you for using your gift and thank you for blessing the church. And for those of you who work behind the scenes that people don't see, thank you. Man, that is incredible. That is awesome. That is so encouraging and so exciting. But maybe for you today, before you even think about any of those things, maybe today is the day that you enter into saving faith. That as we celebrated Christmas, that's the beginning of the story of what God did to redeem you, to pay the price for your life and for my life. And that Christmas is the beginning of that life of Christ, where it ends in Easter on the cross, where he makes the ultimate sacrifice for all of mankind for all time. And that on that cross, when he was crucified, that he made payment for our sin. And what that looks like for you today, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, is acknowledging that you are separated from God by sin, that we're all sinners. And the only way we can be saved is by his grace. And so when we acknowledge that we're sinners, that we come before a most holy God and say, God, please forgive me of my sins. And today, I put my faith and trust in you. You see, when he rose from the grave on the third day, it showed that he was who he said he was and that he is who he says he is. And maybe in a moment when we pray, today is the day that you put your faith and trust in him. Maybe you've already done that. Praise God. And today is the beginning of maybe a new, you know, as we start the new year, you know, it's a great time to a new thinking process of, man, am I serving, am I living, am I breathing, am I working within the giftings that God has given me? Am I encouraging those around me to serve and live and move and breathe in those giftings? Because that's when our family really is on mission for God and doing what God has called us to do in a way that we've never done before. I'm excited about that, church. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that as we kind of finish in the middle of this teaching time today, Father, that there would be those in this room that are challenged. God, challenged by the opportunity to know you and to serve you. And so, God, I just want to pray, God, for that person who first and foremost needs to put their faith and trust in you for the very first time, that today would be the day that as we have talked about the difference between the gift of faith and saving faith, that there would be an understanding about what that means. And that for someone in this room today, that today would be the day that they enter into saving faith by your grace, according to your will, prompted by your Holy Spirit. And if that's you today, what that looks like is that you come before God right now and just say, God, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I ask for forgiveness of my sins, and I put my faith and trust in you and in you alone. If that's you today, I'd love to talk with you after the service to say, okay, hey, where do we go from here? What does that mean for me? I think as we go through a teaching like this, God, that there should be challenge in each one of our hearts. That as we look through the giftings that you've bestowed upon your people for your glory, according to your will, to be on your mission, God, that there's times that we recognize that we haven't been doing that. And so I pray that we receive the encouragement from your word, that we are to walk in faith and use those gifts that you have given to us according to your will for your purpose. And God, I pray that there is a new level of excitement within the body of believers here at Arlington. That as we serve within our giftings, that we are most fulfilled, you are most honored, and the world is changed. We make our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen.